Hi, my name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. This podcast is about all things LAX. We wanted to bring you authentic, fresh, and inspiring information from coaches, players, and others in the lacrosse world, giving you the best up-to-date information in the game of lacrosse as it is evolving quickly. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Meg McNelly, the FCA Maryland Girls Lacrosse Club Assistant Director. I'm so excited to welcome our guest to our All Things Lacrosse with FCA Girls podcast, Mary Schwartz. Mary is a seasoned lacrosse coach with a rich background in both playing and coaching. She was a four-year letter winner at the University of Maryland. She played goalie for the Terps and helped them reach three NCAA Division I championship games. She was also a standout as a field hockey goalie, which was news to me as well, which is exciting. Her coaching career is extensive, which included various high schools and college programs, including Davidson College and Roanoke. She was a head coach at Roanoke College for 17 years, which is incredible. She also served on several NCAA committees, as well as on the board for the IWLCA. Upon her retirement from collegiate coaching in 2021, you became the director of operations for a major force lacrosse club. So excited to have you, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, been a long time coming, but super excited to have you on the call, on the podcast. So just a little background on Mary and I. 14 years ago, I met Mary at a goalie camp, which was after 5 months of picking up the position. At Roanoke College. And I had just started playing, found a love for that position, had no plan other than my own personal aspirations of, you know, playing at the next level. And I left there with so much more than just a gained perspective and knowledge of the game, but with a club team and a, you know, opportunity to reach the next level of gameplay. So it's been, you know, so cool to see, you know, how both our lives have changed over the last, you know, 15 years. Now I'm in a position where I'm now coaching and, you know, I've been through now collegiate and I'm now giving back to like high school where I started playing lacrosse. So just wild, but so happy to have you on and be able to have this conversation, you know, 14 years in the making.
It's funny. I was telling my husband last night, so I'm coaching high school now. So
yeah,
add that to my
of course, that's awesome.
The local school here, Salem High School, and we had a game last night. So, and it was windy, it was cold, it was I think I was saying to myself on the sidelines, I go, I think that's why I retired, was because of this and the weather. Because it's like, I don't mind, you know, if I was down in Florida, but I was telling him, I go, yeah, I have this call in the morning, you know, with FCA. And I said, the person who's running it, I said, I met her. She came to my goalie school. So it was 14 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe my junior year. 2010, 2011. It's like, that's where I'm gauging it right now. But yeah.
Just great. No, I remember, I mean, we were playing the goalie wars and you really enjoy. I think that is like the highlight of the whole camp when the girls that, like, we get to play out on the field and just your athleticism. And I was like, why is this athlete not going somewhere? You know, because that's always my big, you find these girls that come to the camp because to learn. I mean, you know, the Bill Pilot Goalie School, it was set up to teach young kids and give them the fundamentals and then, you know, use those to get better. And so we would get a lot of these kids that maybe have been playing a couple of years, maybe they've never played before, and you just see it and it's like, wow, you know, and it's, and you develop the camaraderie there, you know, the camps now, we still run the camps and the girls, you know, with social media, they come back every year and they have a friendship and then they go on to, you know, the club teams and the colleges and, you know, they keep in touch. And that's what's really, I really think that's what continues me to want to stay in touch with this game. It's just because of the relationships and the friendships that you develop.
Oh, of course. I think back to like the girls that I met there at that my 1 week of camp, and I still, obviously it's Facebook more like friendship. So it's, you know, you see what's in their lives, but it's still there. I mean, one, that was such a special camp because I had just picked up the position myself, mm-hmm. and find a camp that was focused on goalies. You know, right. like you're not just the person in cage that's, you know, allowing the attackers or midfielders to shoot on you. You know what right. I mean? You're not just like the placeholder. Like it's designed to just support you.
Target practice. I always tell the girls, your target yeah, right. practice. They say they have goalie coaching and they work with you 30 minutes and then, all right, there you go.
They warmed you up. They warmed you up. That was that goalie coaching that you were getting. And so, I see it now. I mean, you probably see it as well with high school coaching, like, the ability and knowledge that you have as coming from a goalie perspective allows you to like reach your entire team. I think, because yes. I think sometimes, you know, it's, you've missed out when you don't hit that goalie, when you don't get that goalie in your, you know, and relationship living, like you can provide insight to them just as much as you can an offensive player, midfielder, or defender, even if not more.
If you go through in the college coaching world, there's a good percentage that were goalies, you know, because as a goalie, you have to know everything. I mean, not only the defense. I mean, I think sometimes our defense knew the attack better than the attack knew it, you know, because you're playing against them every day and they knew the play. You know, defenders tend to cheat a little bit, but, you know, having a goalie coach. So when these goalies are going in the recruiting process, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about that, one of the things I would always tell them, I'm like, you, when you're on the call with the coaches, do they have a goalie coach? How much time do they spend with you? Do you get extra time? Because a lot of these coaches that were attackers, they don't really understand how much time and what it takes to develop, not only from a muscle memory standpoint, but also from a mental aspect, because a goalie's position is so, I'd say it's 90% up here. You know, the skill's going to, you know, if you have the skill, you're going to continue to work on it. But those games can be, I mean, it's challenging, you know, you get in there and it's like, you're not saving the ball. And is the coach giving you the support, or are they like, oh, you're not saving it, I got to put somebody else in? That happens too.
We focus so much on the goalie as the end all be all. Like what happened, you know, like you see the goal, like you don't see, I mean, and you focus on that part of it. I mean, I know as a goalie, like, even though I know that my defender didn't slide, like I took the goal personally, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever it was, like, how you approach goalies, at every level is so important. So, just so positive being able to talk to somebody that understands, mm-hmm. you know, kind of my perspective of like going into a coaching environment and knowing like you're reaching, you know, every position, all 12 men on the field, women on the field. When it comes to that, I know just a quick little like anecdote is like, I remember in college we had a play pop quiz, like, you know, do you know our team's like, you know, philosophy and all our like plays from defense to offense. And I remember I got called in afterwards to like, just kind of debrief. And, it was funny because I was the only one that like scored like a perfect score, like on my, you know what I mean? Like across the board, offensively, defensive plays, those kind of things. So that was funny. Just a little thing, but, going into, I know you've obviously spent a lot of time in the Division III coaching world, and now be, and then also starting in high school and now finishing kind of in high school again, you know, what was, you know, things you looked at specifically for like recruiting an athlete, like what was aspects of their game or their personality that you looked for when looking at a kid?
You know, it's probably changed over the course. So, you know, 17 years is a long time to, you know, I guess be coaching. I mean, like I've been coaching for a long time, but when we would go recruit, you know, recruiting has changed as well. So in the beginning, we had to do a lot of live scouts. So you were actually, you had to spend the time, you know, make sure you got to the tournaments. Tournaments were really important. Film was something that was just starting to evolve for the college coaches. But a lot of times, I mean, we went through a certain exchange program to another program to, you know, when I was on the board with IDub, we were, you know, approached by a lot of these companies because it was just starting to evolve. But the first thing that you would look for in a Division III athlete is athleticism. I mean, you know, is the kid an athlete? Is she able to do the things out on the field without having to, you know, think about it? Because you can see that, like a seasoned coach could see that. Speed is another one. You can't coach speed. The last thing that I would look at would be the stick skills, because you can always get better with your stick. Let's say the athlete was just a righty and they didn't use their left hand as much. You would make a note of that, you know, when you're recruiting. but you knew that that's something that you could work on, because, you know, being a coach, you have to spend the time on it and you have to be able to coach. And I think, you know, there are coaches that want an athlete that's already developed. They don't want to spend the time coaching. They want a kid that's already developed. I think a lot of your D3 coaches are going to take the athlete, and they know that they might, and I don't want to say project, but you'll hear that with some coaches. I like this player. They're the full package, but I know I'm going to have to invest in them.
Right.
And, you know, so I think there's all different aspects. In the D3 world, you tend to get a lot of the athletes that are, I don't want to say what's left after Division III picks the ones that they want, and even Division II. So we would get a lot of defenders. And, you know, because they're all, the Division I's are looking for the middies, they're looking for the speed. You know, there's a difference of a D1 speed than the quickness overall speed. So sometimes you'd have to take a risk, and it's like, okay, if this kid, sometimes I'd bring a defender in and make him an attacker. You know, so you're just, so I think it's really coach's preference, but I would always look for, is that kid an athlete? What are they doing off the ball? You know, how's their stick? That's okay. Are they fast? I'd watch them on the sidelines when they'd get pulled out. How do they act on the sidelines? You know, you watch a film. If I'd watch game, you know, maybe they were pulled out, there was a mistake. I'm watching the kid. What are they doing over there? Are they talking to the coach? Are they throwing their stick? You know, all those things are important.
No, of course. I mean, I definitely think that, like, I see it now within the high school realm of, like, potential. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's
sure.
that piece that, like, they want it. Like, you can tell, like, you're going to give them, like, that coachability that, I mean, you don't see it, honestly, from a sideline of recruiting standpoint. But, you know,
right.
As a coach, like, you see it on the field day to day with your high school athletes of, like, are they able to receive the feedback you're giving them? But I guess you can see it in a game situation, in a snapshot of, like, can they take, you know, coaches feedback in that moment of after an error and receive it, take it in, and then maybe go back out and, you know, apply it, you know, make a change. So, I mean, it's been harped on me forever of, like, your attitude is the biggest thing you can, you know, affect yourself. Like, you have the control over your attitude, you know, how you go and how you express yourself on the field, positive or negative, you know, speaks volumes.
And you do your homework too. You know, coaches, I think sometimes younger coaches might not dig a little bit, but, you know, I'm calling the club coach. You know, you're doing a little background check. And then, you know, even, you know, the families, the parents, you know, that's an important factor too. So, you know, not only do you talk to the players on the call, because you want them to be, you know, handling the call to see how, because, you know, I think it's this generation. The phone thing is lost because they don't have to talk as much. So I find you get these, you know, these recruits on the phone call, and they're struggling to have a conversation, you know. So even in the club world, we kind of work with our players, and okay, you have to have questions ready. They're going to throw questions at you, you know, and have your mom or dad or somebody taking notes, because you're going to forget, like, because you're so excited, you know, on the call, like, take the notes, and, you know, and then just kind of process it. But, you know, talking to the families is important too, because you want to know, because if a club coach goes, oh, their families, they're something, it's like, well, what does that mean? So it's important that I think the recruitable athletes too talk to their families, like how they act on the sidelines, because the parents a lot of times are over near the coaches in the recruiting, like, boxes when they have them, or sometimes the coaches are mixed in with the families. And it's like, whose parent is that? They might make a note, don't recruit that kid.
Well, and that's so true. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's become a science experiment a little bit of, like, the sidelines. I mean, they have that box set up, you know, for tournaments, but, you know, I often find that those boxes are not the only places that coaches sit.
Right.
You know, it's a little incognito trying to, like, you know, one, you know, they don't, maybe there's not space in the box or whatever it is, but, you know, just kind of, or they're stopping by and they don't need to feel like they need to walk all the way up there. But, you know, parents are under the microscope as much as the kids are. You know, you're recruiting the whole family. I mean, you definitely spend most time with the kid, but there's a huge aspect of, you know, is this a family that I want to have a part of my program? Who's going to speak, you know, life and truth and support into the program, as opposed to, you know, they're going to go around because their kid's not playing, you know, at the collegiate level, or, you know, not getting what they're not, their expectation met. And then, you know, bashing you on the sidelines or whatever it looks
No,
like.
it's true. And when we would bring in the freshman class, I would always do a freshman lunch at our house, open it up while they're here for orientation. And it was, you know, a lot of the girls were already connected on a Snapchat or something. They had already kind of got it, but it was really neat for the parents. And so I'd sit the parents down and the kids would be down with the upperclassmen, just kind of, you know, they're excited because school's getting ready to start. And I just tell the parents, I said, look, if you're concerned about your daughter, I said, you have my cell number. And if it's something that you're concerned about, that's not dealing with playing time or the game, I want you to call me. Like if there's something that, you know, hey, I'm worried about Susie, you know, there's, you know, and then, you know, I'd have that conversation. I go, but don't call me about playing time. If it has anything to do with lacrosse, I, you know, that's something you can talk to your daughter about, but I'm the head coach. This is my assistant. And, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that they develop. So I think it's laying down like the boundaries. I think a lot of young coaches, they don't understand that and they don't always set the boundaries. So they get themselves into trouble a little bit.
No, I totally. I mean, I've, you know, personal experience from like, you know, club coaching side is I've coached, you know, my same team from since fourth grade, you know,
Yeah,
and
that's
so now
fun.
they're juniors in high school and, you know, I am still coached, but like, you know, there's a relationship there. However, going into like a high school environment, like, you know, I'm now coaching them at their high school team. It's not their club team where I spend, you know, X amount of time, you know, exorbitant amount of
Right.
time with them. You know, there's a professional like boundary there now, like, you know, being their high school coach, like you're setting a standard now for the entire group of girls that are there, not just our relationship, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I think that boundary is so important across the board, but just kind of recapping, you know, just the athleticism, the speed thing. I've never heard anyone say like, you know, the speed you can't coach, but like, that is so true. That athleticism is something that just comes like naturally. And having that is so important, but like there is that potential, that project, you know, if there's things to work on, you know, coaches can see that. So, and then, you know, being mindful family-wise, you know, not just your athletes on the, you know, under the microscope, but also the family and how you, you know, your attitude on and off the field. So all good things. Obviously, you know, it's been a couple of years, like since being immersed in the recruiting process for yourself, and it's evolved even in the last year, which is crazy. But, you know, how does that Division III timeline look like, as opposed to like the, you know, D1, D2?
D1.
Yeah.
You know, every coach is probably different in how fast they move. So D3, you have your NESCACs and a lot of your high academic schools move so much slower. Like a school like MIT, we had a kid that was interested in MIT. She didn't find out that she got until March of her senior year.
Wow.
They do the NESCACs, a school maybe like a Washington and Lee, UChicago, the academic schools, they do early reads. So an early read will, hey, yep, you're on track with the courses that you're taking, or you're not going to be a good fit. So I think it's important for the student athlete to look at the school, talk to their guidance counselor, maybe if they have a recruiting coordinator. But the timeline for me, so D1s were allowed to, we were actually allowed to talk, well, D3, you can talk to them whenever you want. You know, we always say it's like the wild, wild west. You can like, you know, we can call kids, we can set up calls, but usually we'd start watching them. So let's say for this year, our 26s most likely would have been complete. We probably would have, you know, if I was still at Roanoke, we probably would have had our 26 class, maybe find a few stragglers. We'd have them on campus in the fall. So they would have all been on campus in the fall, maybe come to a prospect day that summer. We would have watched them last summer, maybe watched a little bit more in the fall, but we would already had our list. We would have our list for the 27s right now. So going into the summer season, that's pretty much what our focus would be. Maybe rounding out a few 26s, you know, sometimes a kid might verbally commit, but you know, what does that even mean anymore? Cause there's no, you know, so somebody might say, hey, I found another school. Maybe, you know, they got off the wait list at a school they were waiting for. So you still might be recruiting in the summer. So, but I think everybody's a little different on their timeline. We always tried to get ahead. So, and we might even have some 28s writing us, but there's no way that we're even watching 28s. So the summertime right now would be for 27s.
Right. I mean, that's like very standard, I feel like, for maybe not starting 27s in the fall, I was starting in the summer for D3, but makes sense. It's a little bit pushed off as you're finishing up that like 26 class, that junior class in the fall. I mean, I know it's definitely coach specific of like where you're at and then, you know, academic side of things, making sure that, you know, those things align. So I know those are all factors and it takes into account like what school you want. You know what I mean? What's the level? What school do you want to go to academically? You know, what does it look like? You know, country, location, you know, those kind of things all come into account. But, you know, knowing that like it's not a cookie cutter, like I know that this is when the timeline completes, I think helps a little bit, you know, providing, and I think transparency. I mean, you know, the positive thing about D3 is that you can talk to them. You know, you can have the transparent conversation of like, are you actively looking at this class anymore? Are there gaps in your recruiting class that you need to fill or holes that you need to fill? If not, then I'm not gonna pursue you more, if that makes sense. I could close the door early and not feel let down. I think I know a lot of our girls that have gone through this process or, you know, it's frustrating when you're navigating, you know, the multiple lists that, you know, you were on their like, you know, interest list, but they, you know, all their top seven said yes. So it's kind of like, you know, you were the next group of kids that would have been asked, but it's, you know, it's not there that time. So knowing that, I think going forward is like so easy, you know, is so beneficial, just being able to have transparent conversations with coaches. I mean, I remember, and it was different, you know, 11, 14 years ago when I was getting recruited, is like, you know, I could reach out and be like, am I in your top two? Like I could ask that question to anybody as long as I, you know, could pose that question and they could get back to me and say yes or no. Like, and that like really, you know, focused my recruiting process of where I was going to put my time into, like what schools I was going to go to camps or prospect days or, you know, winter clinics, like those kind of things, because that was going to put me in the best place to show that I wanted to go there. If
And
that
it's real important, the prospect days, you hit that. Like there are some schools that'll send out blanket, emails to everyone. Hey, we want you to come to our prospect day. And so then they'll reach out to me, the girls, and like, Coach, I got this from X school, and but it's like $400. And I'm like, don't go. I said, let me make a phone call and see if you're on the list, or are they just having, so it's, and we call it, and I don't want to say it's a bad, but money grabbers. Like, do they really want
as
you? And
transparent as it is. Yeah.
a lot of the D3s, if they have a prospect day, they're not going to be that big. They're inviting you to come down to possibly be a part of that class, see if you mesh well. And for goalies, it's a little bit different, as you know. And so we tell the goalies, most schools now are bringing a goalie in each class. I think it's volatile because, what if a kid decides they don't want to be there? What if they get injured? But that's a first question a goalie needs to ask on the call is, how many goalies do you have? Are you looking to bring one in this class? Will you bring two in? Because it's hard. If you have two at the same year, that's tough. And I
Cutthroat.
also, with goalies, I'm like, do your homework, because most schools will bring in a bunch of middies. They're only bringing in one goalie. So where are you on the list? I called this one school and they said, we have 12 goalies coming to our prospect day. I was like, 12 goalies. So goalies have,
Class.
for one class, I said, goalies need to be a little bit ahead of the recruiting process. They almost need to, like, the 27 should already know what schools are looking. I just think they have to, even the 28s need to start looking too.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different recruiting for them.
Well, and that's hard. I mean, like you said, like it's one spot, you know,
One
like
spot.
I mean, you might have a class, a coach that takes two because of a situation that happened on their team, whether it be like a gap, you know, someone fell out, someone transferred, you don't have that class anymore. So they want to fill that number for, you know, injury reserve, you know, backups, those kind of things. So, you know, good to know just going into it, you know, that being ahead of almost your class is where you need to be goalie wise. I know roster caps are definitely like, you know, I don't know, like Division three, like if that's something they're navigating, which is great, which was a positive thing, but still, you're not gonna, no person, no goalie coach is really taking more than one goalie.
No. Yeah, the
So
roster cap won't affect D3. I think it's going to help them.
that's good. I mean, it'll provide more athletes to be able to go those levels, which will, you know, and, you know, level up their play.
It will.
which will be great. So kind of going into then, like, kind of bringing up the goalie aspect of it, like, how does that recruiting process differ from, field players to goalies, leaning more into the goalie aspect of it?
Most teams want the goalie to come on campus so that the coaches can work with them. I think out of all the positions, they can see on film, they can watch at games, but when, especially somebody, if they have a goalie coach, they really want those goalies to come on because they want to see, when they work with them, like, is this, is this person a good fit for the program? Are they the type of goalie that we're looking for? Because you have the goalies, like our goalie that we have on our Salem team. She's a super athletic goalie. She's one of the fastest kids on our team. She could run the midfield if she wasn't a goalie. I mean, that's how fast she is. And then you have the goalies that are just stoppers. Okay, they're not as active outside the cage. So that's where for goalies, you got to, hey, if the coach asks you to come on campus to a prospect day, you really need to try to make the time to come because that could be the deciding factor. And just having, I think they have to have a bigger, like cast a bigger net of schools because, it's once a goalie commits and you haven't like done, maybe you were a little bit behind the game, but it was the school you were interested in, you got to look for another school. And that's tough because I feel like sometimes goalies get cheated out, like, but that was my top school I wanted to go to. And it's like, well, you can still go there, maybe be a walk-on, but you're gonna have to fight. I mean, I went at Maryland, I had a goalie that came in. We had two in each class, like, so there were two of us freshman year for field hockey, there were two for lacrosse. So you're always fighting and battling to start. It's and I think it's we were best friends, but I mean, that's you got to work every day.
Yeah,
It's hard.
there's no like security in that position whatsoever. I mean, I only had three when I was at one given time. I think it was the most we had was four. I think
Yeah.
my junior year.
That's a lot.
But I mean, yeah. So it was, I think when I came, it was we had a senior and a junior, and then as myself as a freshman, and then my sophomore year was senior, myself, and then a freshman, and then my next year we brought in a transfer. So then it was two sophomores, myself as a junior, and then a freshman that came in. So it was, those kind of things.
Right.
I think, what's your take on like understanding goalie play, like what a coach wants from their goalie? Like, I think obviously they'll recruit that. They're gonna look at goalies
Right.
that fit that niche, but like, is it worth looking at like, what the goalies are currently doing there? Like, is that something, is that a school I really want to do? If this is the goal way the goalie's playing, that's playing right now in cage, like, can I play that way, or is that not something to look at?
I think with film, I mean the amount of film that these kids can watch lacrosse all day, every hour of the day. I don't think there's any film when I played. We didn't even have like the NCAA championships. So yes, and I think it's important to talk to the coaches about that because, like I just said, goalie styles are different. You have the real athletic goalies that'll come out and be active and play more like men's style lacrosse, where they're just another defender out there. You have the ones that I don't want, maybe some of the older coaches, I want you to stay in the cage. That's your job. Your first number one job is to save the ball and be able to clear. But I think it's important because if they have the same goalie coach or if the head coach is the goalie coach, whatever style that goalie's playing, that's probably what they're looking for. So, that's why I said, like, you have the goalies that are good on their angles and stoppers. You have the more athletic goalies and maybe they focus a little bit too much. They got to hone in on number one job, save the ball. And then you can be that, scrappy athletic goalie getting the ground balls. Because a lot of times the goalies are leading in ground balls on the team. If you
Really,
ever look at some
I
of
haven't
the
looked at
stats,
stats too much, but yeah, I can
you look at
for
the
sure.
stats, the goalie's like, oh wow, the goalie has all the ground balls because they come out of the cage and
I mean, I love that next move mentality. I mean, like we don't want to let up the garbage ball. Like that's, we don't want that to happen.
no.
But if we do, the chaos that ensues in front of the crease makes my heart race beyond belief when that ball comes out. So I would rather just come out and pick it up and go.
Yeah, because you have those defenders that hit it back at you, and I'm like, what are you doing?
My heart stops when defenders flick it back into the goalie, and I'm like, no, please don't. I mean, there's definitely that reaction piece. Like you're not looking for that.
I know. But no, I think that's important for them. And then asking those questions, that's why you do the calls. It's kind of like, it's like speed dating. What are you looking for in a goalie? You know, do you want a more athletic goalie? You know, this is what I can bring to the cage. I have a good left hand, you know, all those things that maybe would be appealing for that coach.
Right. No, of course. Yeah. I mean, I also know like that when you get to the college level, like if you when you make it there, like that piece of it, like the coachability within that is so big. Like what's your, you know, buy-in to like their philosophy? Because although they might see that potential in you to be that, you know, goalie, like are you willing to change your, I think, style? You know what I mean? Like fit in. Like I think it's not like big changes, but like, you know, you're an active goalie, but can you be more active like on the field? Like, you know, or you know, I mean, are you able to be a scout goalie? Can you be versatile in the cage to be, you know, to mimic other goalies? Those are all the things that, you know, was put on you. It's a challenge mentally to be able to step out of it and
It
do
is, and
experience.
if your goalie coach, if you've been coached by a male coach, they coach a lot different. They play a lot different. So you'll get these goalies that have such a wide stance, and they're not quick enough to have a stance like that. So they come in, and a coach might try to change that, and that's why it's important for them to come to the prospect days, because they can say, I don't know if I can change the goalie style. Because you know, at goalie camp, one of the things I always say, every one of you has a different style, and we're not going to change the style, but fundamentally there's things that have to be the same.
Of
But
course.
sometimes, you know, sometimes over a course of training, like one of the goalies we had at Roanoke, her stance was so wide when she came in and she couldn't move. So we slowly kind of like shortened her stance, and it made her a better goalie, but it takes time.
I think it's harder. I mean, you're looking at the compare, like the one position that really overlaps the most between the men's and women's side is goalie. You know, like there is like that has the most similarities within it. However, the shot you're getting at a men's game as opposed to a women's game is very different. I mean, I
Very
really
different.
think the shot has evolved with, you know, the speed and velocity that comes out, you know, to a woman's goalie. But you know, you have those finesse shots that you have to be able to be quick for. And those points. I mean, I think you have men's, I mean, there's still men's shots that are coming in like close contact for sure, close on the crease, but majority of it that wide stance can be because it's a power shot from, you know, 15 yards out. Like you
Yeah,
have
they're not seeing that. Although I did
they're
see.
not having to move as much because they're in that stance. They're just ready for that power shot as opposed to in women's when that ball, you know, goes completely across the 8 meter, you know, it makes a whole world of, you know, you have to be able to move quickly to get to that space to make the save. So
I think BC, I don't know, I watched a clip the other day of one of the D1 players. They made a shot at, I think it was about 15 yards out.
that
I don't even know how she had the lane and it went in. And she had the bounce. She definitely had practiced it, because where it bounced and went in, I was
yeah
like, that's the first time I've seen a shot out that far. That's
that
crazy.
I mean I remember in high school like the furthest shot out was at 8 meter. It was like I was like how is she shooting from the 8 meter? Like that's so far away in my mind, but like that's now a, you know, a go-to shot for a lot of these athletes.
It's
So
one step in and they're ripping a shot, and the goalies aren't ready for it.
no you know, so how can a goalie being recruited set herself apart? Like, I think that's the one piece added on to it. I know that like we've talked about being ahead of the game, but like what sets you apart as a goalie? How can you stand out?
You know, a goalie's going to stand out by the way they save the ball. Goalie's going to stand out by the way they direct the defense and lead. Because I always say the goalie's got to be the quarterback. You're the one that sees everything. You're the one that can communicate to the defense. You know which you see the attackers, and if you do your homework study, like, okay, this is what she's going to do, and we got to make sure that we're locking off like the left side. But I think it's just by the way she plays, her poise when she comes out and makes it clear, you know, is she agile? Does she move her feet? Does she hang her head after a save? You know, when she gets beat, is she like, you know, you could tell like her temperament. Does she like bang the pole with her stick? Like, is there some type, you know, all the things that I did, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Thank God we didn't have film. You know, the end of my stick was like bent from hitting the back of the pipe. But you know, I think it's just, you know, goalies have to be so confident and cocky. I always would say, it's like, guys, you're getting shot on by, like, the shots coming in now are just crazy, the speed that they have. So be confident and cocky. You're going to get beat. But it's how you react after the shot. You know, I've been working with one of the younger goalies here in the area, and she'd always hang her head after she gets scored on. And I was like, I mean, you can't be a perfectionist and be a lacrosse goalie. You're never going to have a shutout. Very rarely are you going to ever have a shutout. I mean, and you have to learn to deal with the ball going in the cage and just, okay, I'll get the next one, you know, so.
My dad would always say is like there's two things that are guarantees when it comes to being a goalie is you're gonna get hit and
Yep.
you're gonna get scored on. You know what I mean? Like it's gonna happen.
Absolutely. That's great advice.
Yeah, so that mindset is huge because that mental fortitude has gotta be a part of your game for sure.
It does.
All right, so kind of transitioning a little bit away from like the lacrosse piece, but still part of it. Like how has, you know, obviously I didn't know this when you and I met, but we reconnected at the IW at the FCA lacrosse breakfast. So, like, how has your, you know, faith been a part of your lacrosse career, both as a player, as a coach, you know, and now club program or high school program?
Yeah. Well, as a player, going to college, I think it's your first freedom away from your family. I don't think faith was even on my radar.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Transparent. That's great.
it didn't really evolve. Like, God was always a part of my life. You know, I mean, went to church, but it was more of a ritualistic thing. It wasn't a relationship that I had. You know, that wasn't something that really, I didn't really get a chance to experience until when we moved to Pittsburgh and I met my husband to be and went to this different type of church. And it was just, oh, so there is more to this whole God thing. And so it's been a journey, Meg. Like it's the journey, I think everybody has a journey, but I didn't, my, it was, I think I was probably 27 when I accepted Jesus, and I was like, okay, this is really cool. Like my relationship, like here we go. I get the whole package. Like
Yeah.
it's here's the journey. And when I, started coaching high school, and having kids, we were involved in our youth group. There were a lot of things, but it was still very new. And it probably wasn't until I took the job down at Davidson College where, it was like, wow, God's really given me an opportunity to speak into these young girls' lives. But, we did things differently there, but it still wasn't, I don't still think I was being that transparent, obedient coach that God wanted me to be and sharing my faith. So, long story short, at Davidson, I lost my job down there. Things got really ugly. And so when I went to Roanoke College, and that opportunity, we had three kids. I just had my third child, Lizzie. So she's a year old. And here we are packing up, having to move after 10 years. But, I can look back on it and say that was the best thing that ever, God really brought me down to rock bottom. It's like to get my attention. And sometimes that happens. And so I get to Roanoke and I was really guarded in my faith and just everything because I was pretty wounded, from how could these kids do that to me? That was like so rude. I mean, like I poured everything into this team. And so I get there and it's about a year into, so it's my second year. And we had found a really good church and I was starting to heal up. And so I just really felt God's like, Mary, you need to share your story. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, you need to share your story about what happened to you. And I was like, nobody knows what happened. I mean, there were people knew, but there was it the story. And I'm like, how do I talk to my team about this? And this is year 2007. So that's how long the journey.
Yeah.
So we're doing our pregame and I told it in the third person. There's a coach that I know. And there was one girl in that on the team that knew my story because I had recruited her at Davidson. And she was
Wow.
best friends with one of the girls that was on the team when all this went down. And at the end, when I said that coach is me, and I said, so things are going to be different here. I said, I wasn't obedient to what God wanted me to do down there. So this is how it's going to go. My pregame always had a Bible verse and some type of story pertaining to the game. At the end, we all prayed together and I prayed with them. And I said, if you're not comfortable with this, just respect the ones that are. And by midway towards the end of the season, my assistant coach who would leave the locker room was right in there. All the people that, and it was probably the most God ordained season that we had, we got a gift. We made it to the NCAAs. There were all these things that happened, and I look back, and God was like, I just wanted you to be obedient to what I had called you to do. And so that just started the thing, and it was and we all have these journeys, but I'll tell you, there's so many stories that God has allowed me to experience, like even just going over, Bulgaria, Ukraine, getting a chance to share Jesus with these people that never heard about him.
Yeah.
So faith has been, you make mistakes, but you walk it out. But it's that if you're called to do something, you got to do it, because God's going to find a way. Like, you can't outrun him. He's going
No.
to be like, and you don't want to go through some of the hurts, but through the hurts, sometimes we, you know, we, I think that helps us to grow.
Right. No,
So
for sure.
that's kind of like how it all went.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think that, everyone has a journey and a story in a way that, God has worked in their life. And, I can say that mine happened before, during, and after, but really solidified myself afterwards. So, and it, through FCA, which is kind of where I'm at now with, club and the ministry and everything. So it's, full circle moments for sure, and how it's now I can give back and hopefully instill that same, or at least plant the seed that it can happen before you go to college, so that you have that foundation and that obedience and relationship, so when you get to the hard stuff, whether it be in the recruiting process, as you navigate the treacherous minefield that it is sometimes, and then collegiate sports and the mental and physical toll it takes on you for sure as well. Having that relationship is so important. If that's something that, he's put on your heart, or you've put on your heart, to have that. So.
Well, last night, and I'll share this. So we have first home game, and I'm still learning this team, and it's public school. I mean, that doesn't bother me. So they all got in a circle, and I was like, what are they right out on the field? And they prayed. And
Wow.
that was like, because I've been praying for that. I was like, God, if this is an opportunity, and I it was so organic, and just like, it was really cool. And I was like, all right, here we go. Like, just that they have that foundation, and everyone was a part of it. And if this is something that, even if it was a small prayer, they had the one girl lead the prayer. And I was like, that was pretty cool to watch.
Well, it's something that's also cool to see how, with throughout your journey, and then to have it kind of be like blessed upon you to have a team that's already there, that now
I
you
didn't even
see
have to
it,
initiate anything.
right?
That's
So
how I
now
was
you
standing
can.
back, and I'm like, okay. I mean, that was really like, okay,
That's
here we
awesome.
go.
So, I've obviously I followed you and your time at Roanoke, and I saw the, I think Beyond the Whistle, I think is
Oh, yeah. When you know it's time, that one, or
right
the book.
that I loved that. It was so good, because I think to myself about it a lot, and kind of, you've now transitioned from, collegiate coaching back down to kind of like the club world, and now back into high school. Like, how do you balance like your new role, with the passion for the game? Like, is it, has it changed, or is it exciting? Is it like revamped your, love and passion? Is it like, still give you butterflies now that you're
Yeah.
in this
You
role?
know, it's funny. I thought about it on our first game, because we had a couple of scrimmages, and I feel like I'm last night in the game, because the first game, I was really nervous. We're playing this top team in the area, and I was like, I over prepared the team, so, and didn't really enjoy the game. And so I kind of like had a like I was praying, I was out walking the dogs and had some prayer time, and I was like, all right, just you got to go in more relaxed. And oh yeah, the excitement's there. It's different, because I have the girls are, they're not college age, they're younger. And so it's, you have a gap of kids that are maybe 14, 15 to 18, and they're at a different time in their life. So my prayer is a little bit different on how God wants to use me, but the excitement is there. And it's, you're developing, so in college you're developing, but you're at a different time in their life developing. So here it's kind of instilling, I think, I don't even know what the word, I don't want to say boundaries, but just some type of like each kid's got a different path, different journey, different things going on in their life. And high school is so hard.
Yeah.
College, I feel like if they make it out of high school, like they're kind of, they're grounded. These kids are still trying to find their like journey. Is it journey? Like what even be the word? It's kind
Their
of
identity, I think
maybe
that's
identity. And
identity
there's
sometimes.
so many things that they're battling. So I'm excited to have like a team dinner and just like be able to get to know them more personally because I really don't know anything. Like when you recruit kids, you know about their lives in the college realm. Like I know a lot of the backstories. So I feel like as God put me here, I don't know these kids' backstories.
Right.
So where is that opportunity going to be there? But yeah, it's the excitement's there. I was kind of like went back and forth on do I take the job, but I'm coaching high school with my club team anyway,
Right.
so it felt very natural. And it's time consuming. It's not. I probably put more time in than somebody would. Like I'm developing plays. I'm like scouting. Some of the high school coaches probably just show up, and
Right.
it's different in your area because you got to be ready for the teams, right?
For sure, for sure. We got a game today. So it's gonna
Yeah,
be, yeah,
game
so
day.
it's game day. Always, I love it. And I but
Yeah.
after reading that article, I really thought about it because I was like, I still get sick to my stomach going into a game. Like I get those, like, that still
Butterfly.
game day excitement that I did as a player and now as a coach. And so I was like, it's a great perspective to have, like kind of like when it's time, but like to of that feeling, because like you feel that same joyful feeling, like that same joyful, nervous, excited feeling as a player, then to go to as a coach, and so kind of being mindful of that as well. When is it time? Like that's a great, kind of thing to have, and I think the same goes for an athlete. And I will say that, it's a process for sure as we go through recruiting, and we're talking about, wanting to go to the next level, but the game
Right.
should be fun. You know what I mean? It only gets
Sure.
harder as you get to that next level, and you have to be able to love the game and what it's done for you, like to get there. Like I think that I feel what I've noticed is there's like a, I live in this area, I play lacrosse, I play club, I go to college for lacrosse. Like there's like this like expectation to get to that next level, and you don't find
Right.
like, it's not true for everybody, but there's a loss of love of the game. It becomes just kind of a routine, a part of their identity that they can't separate from themselves. And so I think just being mindful of finding like your college experience can be an incredible one if you find the one that it's going to make you the happiest you can be, both, school-wise, lacrosse-wise, academically, those kind of things. So
And it's important for them to pick the school. We always say, you pick the school first, lacrosse is a bonus.
right.
Because, if injury or maybe you decide, because a lot of kids decide that's the first decision on their own. They're like, Coach, I just don't think I want to play anymore. There's other opportunities. And that's okay. And they come in and have that conversation. And I think, for young coaches, it's like, sometimes it's time, like it's okay for them to do that and don't talk them back into it because they're going to be unhappy. It's going to cause more challenges and it's like support them,
Right. I mean, the biggest piece of advice that I received throughout my recruiting process was when going to a visit, with a school, with a coach, they're going to give you the incredible, lacrosse experience. The athletics tour is what I was, kind of gauging. It looks amazing. But before you go on that tour, do an academic tour. Like walk the campus with like through the schools like tour guides and get a feel for the school as just what would, a normal student be. Like what would your life look like as just a regular student going there? And then, the exciting bonus that the athletics would provide you when you go to that meeting. So seeing the school through the eyes of just the school as opposed to the eyes of the coach, to really get a, all-encompassing review or opinion created of the school so that you can leave with the most informed decision is kind of what was the given to me. And I remember the day I went to Delaware for my recruiting, for my recruiting visit, and it was a rainy December day. It was cold and gross, and it was during finals week, and I was the only one. It was like there was no tours really going on that day. It was one person that walked around with my dad and I, and I loved it. It was, you know what I mean? It was like a place that I felt like instantly like connected to. And then when I went and had the meeting with the coaching staff, like it just made it that much better, you know? So it was, you know, those kind of things. I think seeing the school for what it is first and then adding
Right.
the athletics piece is so important as well.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. And I think some
Right.
people jump into it and then all of a sudden, or they make the decision too early. And I always say, finish out all your visits. Like
Right.
if you have, you know, four schools, make sure you go to all of them because you will get that feeling. It's like, oh, this is the place. Or I don't even want to get out of the car at this place. Because if you don't know what it looks right, do a
Yeah,
drive
no, of
by.
course. Now, just kind of going off of what you just said is like, you know, you have your visits, but obviously the coaches have their own timelines too. Like, how
Correct.
do you communicate that to a coach that like you want to go through all your visits, but you also want to respect their timeline and like their they have to like, you know, make decisions and reach out to people. Like if you get an offer after a visit, you know, they want to know, you know, an X amount of time, but you want to make sure that you do your due diligence and seeing all the other campuses that you've seen. Like, how do you respect the coaching staff that gave, you know, that it's communicating with you, but also be, you know, make the best informed decision, I should say.
I would say most D3s will allow you to finish it out. I think if you're upfront and honest and say, look, I have three more visits. I really like X school, but I have to, you know, I feel like it's important for me to go finish out these visits. Your D1s are going to be a little bit more strict on the timeline, especially if you're one of the top recruits. My dogs are having squeaky toys in the background because they're like, it's walk time.
It's okay.
Do you hear it?
Yeah, I do. It's
Oh my
okay.
gosh. So I think it's important for them to communicate that. And then at the end, you're getting stronger. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So I think it's important to them, you know, to finish it out. And I think the coach will be mindful. But there might be a coach that says, well, we need to know because there's other kids on the list. And I think with a goalie, it might be a little bit different because they'll wait it out. I think field players, they might give that timeline because they do have three other kids that are very, I guess at the same level, and
Right.
they just want to be done like with the recruiting. But I think D3s are less strict in that timeline.
Good to know. Now, obviously, as you've entered into the club scene, kind of like my last question for you is like, what does like club directors, like club coaches' role in that recruiting process look like? Is it, you know, I know we talked a little bit earlier about like when there's prospect days or prospect, you know, blanket emails are sent out, like reaching out on behalf of the kid, like to really see where they are interest-wise on their list. But in the recruiting process themselves, like what is the club director, club coach's role?
So club director, and they could have a recruiting coordinator. It depends on like the club itself. We have a recruiting coordinator and we kind of work hand in hand. So if a school has reached out to us about an individual, you know, then we'll kind of relay that to the individual. If the athlete, you know, reaches out to us and says, hey, I'm really interested in this school, can, you know, and they've watched my, you know, with the WLCA sports recruit, they've watched some of my videos. Can you find out where I stand? Because it is kind of, it's tough to know, like, are they watching me or are they watching the team?
Right.
So, you know, we would reach out to the coach, say, hey, where does Susie land on your recruiting? And they might say she's in our top five or she's in our next tier. So then we can communicate that back. And then it's up to the athlete. Like you can, you know, continue in the recruiting process, but keep other schools in options because unless they go to that next tier, you're probably, you know, not gonna, you maybe you'll get a walk-on, but see with D1s right now, walk-ons are probably gonna be not a thing anymore
Right.
because of the
Caps.
I guess cap on the roster caps. So that's gonna be something that they'll have to navigate. And it's, so it's different. So they might get a lot of no's, but in the D3 world, there's not a lot of no's. I mean, unless, you know, like you're gonna find a home.
Well,
And I
that's what I
think
think I
that's
tell
what's
all the
neat.
girls is like that there is a program. Like if you want to play lacrosse, I mean, there's definitely like you know, there's a program out there for you. Like, I think that that's the biggest positive in general is that there's a program for you. I mean,
Yes.
it, like, I think the school aspect is definitely takes a little bit more time to find like what works. I mean, there's so many schools out there that I'm learning about for the first time that I've never heard of that like have great academics, great campuses, and you know, they also have lacrosse. Like that's so cool. So I think, yeah, I think it is just, you know, you can find the home that you need to have if you want to play the sport.
Sure. And then we also forget about the NAIAs.
Right, exactly.
And they package really well. So we have some of our club girls going there, and they have great experiences, and they love the school, and a lot of them are, you know, close to hometowns, you know, where they live. So
Right.
I mean, that's another option. There's more and more of those schools.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the recruiting process is the sole focus and the goal is to get you one an education and want to be able to play a sport that we all love. And that's the biggest takeaway. I mean, and I'd say to all the girls, it's like you will find your school and you know, but be happy where you're at. You know what I mean? That's
It's truth.
the biggest win. But thank you. I mean, this has been amazing just connecting with you. It's so much fun. I mean, our paths now cross on the club side of things, as opposed to
I
like,
know.
you know, as opposed to coaching, you know, world. But you know, it's been wonderful being able to reconnect and talk, you know, talk shop about goalies and lacrosse worlds. And now that how our worlds align with the club aspect and now high school, which is so cool as well. So thank you, Mary. I
Yeah.
really appreciate your time and just being able to connect about all things lax and you know,
Always love
returning.
talking lax, and you know, and just the you know, back the FCA component has been a really neat, you know, I it's just funny how God just, you know, the divine appointments and people that you meet, and just all of a sudden, you know, and the stories, like I think about all the opportunities that in the doors he's opened for me, and
Sure.
you know, all you got to do is say yes. And I think that's, you know, there, it's like, don't wrestle with it. It's like, and some people will go, well, I'll pray about it. Well, usually when you say that, it means no. Like, just
You've
you
made
keep,
up your mind saying no.
yeah, keep saying yes. And it's just, you know, and it might not always be easy, but and it's the same with the recruiting world. It's not always easy. You know, it can be, you know, like, oh, you get a lot of no's, but just grow from it, because there's that right fit out there, and it'll be great. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank
Sorry
you
about the dogs. They're like, it's dog time.
Go walk those dogs. All
I
right. I'll
know.
talk to
All
you
right.
later.
Take
Bye.
care.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.